Hey, everybody. Amen. Good to see all of you. Wow, do you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Great. Hey, I've got a couple of great announcements to make. I've been putting it on Facebook and out there and letting everybody know, not one, but two huge announcements to be made this morning. So, in a moment, I'm going to give those. But before I do that, I want to acknowledge our board of directors and our trustees. Now, we have one board of trustees that serve the church, not each location. And see, the Kitzmillers here. Yep, they are. Jeff and Holly, would you mind standing for a minute? Just stay standing. Hold up your applause. Wait a minute. And then Mark Sloan, he's a trustee. Betty, over there. You guys have issues? Okay. Bob and Lisa Smith here this morning? Bob and Lisa, wave at me if you are. Bob's here. Where's Bob? Oh, he's in the back drinking a soda. That's what they do after they finish. They're so parched. Is he back there? Bring him out here. We want Bob. So Bob and Lisa Smith serve as well. And I just have to say, these folks work very hard. They give tirelessly to the ministry. And I'll tell you why. Because they have to work with me. Anybody that works with me is going to get tired. So we want to say thank you. They just tooled out the 2016 projected budget for next year. Worked on that and also many other things of which I'm going to announce to you this morning. So let's together to say thank you by giving them a hand clap. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Betty. Amen. Thank you. Okay, here's what's happening. For the last 2 years, we have been negotiating and praying and working with a group that wanted to buy our school building. And 24 months later, I have to say, Tuesday night, I signed the papers. I think we have a slide of that, of me actually? Oh, there it is. There's Bob. Bob's there he is. No, there's Bob. And there's Lisa. And that is our attorney, J.R. White. And it's interesting that J.R. was a graduate of North Coast Christian Academy, the very school that we sold. And now he's our attorney, represents our church. He brought all the papers, and so we're all smiling because it's finally come to a conclusion. I think there's not only prayed for, but paid for it. So that's pretty cool. Then go to the next slide. Actually, it shows me signing the final paper. And then that was Tuesday night. Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we actually filed and closed the deal. We sold our old school for $850,000 and paid off our mortgage. So we have no mortgage. Isn't that cool? I think that's pretty cool. So I like that free and clear ceremony. Will be January 3rd, 2016. We're actually going to have a mortgage burning. Now, some of you might say, well, that's like Lorraine. No, that was your mortgage too. So so thank God it's paid for, and there's no really proceeds left from that sale. I think it's like $30,000 or $40,000, but because we paid off all the debt. But it's important to know that moving forward, there's no ownership besides us. And I have a friend of mine who pastors near here who called me one day frantic. His church called for, his mortgage company called for the note. No warning, no late payments, no nothing. They said, you've got 30 days to pay us. And he owed like $1 million. So he had to come up with another mortgage company to take the loan, and he worked like crazy. Got it done. I was able to help him with that because I've got some, background experience with this kind of stuff. But no one will be able to do that with us, for us, around us, because we own it completely. And that gives us a strong future. I believe God's going to do that for us here as well. God's going to give us a building. I don't foresee it being this one. I see God giving us a church building with grass. I want some grass, some grass to mow, I really believe God's going to do that for us. And We can pray for it. God will pay for it. And to God be the glory. I think we ought to be a debt-free church. Here's number, announcement number two. Special announcement number two. As you know, I have been, this will be my 37th year beginning December 8th of pastoring at Church on the North Coast. And in that time, we have started 10 churches in the local area. The other day, we were going through some of the archives of my sermons. And if you would like to really torture yourself, I'm going to make some of those available from 1981 and on of my preaching. But look, that was a long time ago, so don't hold me to everything you hear me say, okay? Because we all grow in revelation. But we were going through some of these old tapes, and I found one of the pastors you may know in the Cleveland area, his first sermon. He was an intern with us back in 1994, 21 years ago. His name is Jim Wilkes. He is the pastor now of Journey Church, who has multiple campuses. And one of the guys with me said, "Pastor, do you mean Jim was here with us too?" And he said, "It seems like everybody got their start at North Coast, and now they're out there pastoring." We have been blessed to start 10 churches locally. I won't give you all the names. But back in, 39 years ago, in Avon, we started with North Homestead Assembly of God. You may or may not know that church off in Columbia. And the Ohio District Council and ourselves, we started a church in Avon, which is known now as Christian Heritage Assembly of God, right off of Route 83 and 90. So we were part of that startup and that founding or planting of a church. I went to Uganda for 4 years some years ago and went and raised up leaders, pastors, trained. And you, with your investment, many of you helped me go. Some of you went with me, right? We've started 2,500 churches now in Uganda as a direct result from that investment. And I'm happy to announce to you today that March 27th of 2016, we will launch another church location in Avon. So you will see North Coast Lorraine, if you could put that up. You'll see North Coast Valley View, and you will see North Coast, there it is. I like the bridge, that's a nice touch. And then North Coast Avon, if you can get that one up there as well. And now all three of them. All three of them, there we go. So to God be the glory, amen. So we are excited about that, and more are to come. More are to come. I want you to know that. Why do I know that? Because there's two blank spots in the corner. So we need to put one there, and we need to put one there. But we're going to kind of rebrand it from Church on the North Coast. It's going to be called North Coast Lorraine, North Coast Valley View, North Coast Avon, North Coast, and I won't let out the cat out of the bag on the next one. But there are more coming, and God is opening doors. For example, these doors that opened in Avon, we weren't even looking for a door. So Pastor Troy is going to lead that plant and lead that location. So come on up, Pastor Troy. And just say a few words about it, but this is an exciting moment when we want to celebrate together.
Well, what this is a testament to the fathering of Pastor Kayton, so we should really applaud him.
Oh, no. Not me.
I don't know what has to happen to get the title of apostle, but he truly is an apostle to the region. And what I'm really interested in doing is demonstrating and communicating to sons in the area. He said, he had mentioned we had launched thus amount of churches, 10 of them. But what I would really like to see is those churches respond as sons in the ministry, because he's been such a faithful father. So it is my duty to correspond that way to the apostle of this house and the region. And looking forward to doing that, letting everyone know right away that I'm not stopping Lorraine or Valley View. So it won't be like because I'm launching in Avon that I won't be here. I will continue to do both Lorraine,
yep, that's right,
and Valley View while I do Avon. So thank you for your prayers. We have an incredible team built. It's been being built now for about a year and a half, but it's exciting to see doors go wide open for the kingdom and to see what the kingdom looks like as it spreads across the region. Thank you for your prayers. I love you all. Thank you so much. Thank you,
Pastor. God bless you, Pastor. Amen. Yeah, they've been meeting in a Bible study twice a month. It's called the Life Group in Avon. They've got about 30 people attending. Our youth ministry is over there with Dominic as well. And just to give you an idea, Avon Lake High School with the antivirus program actually invited us in. So we're starting that in January, which is a sister city to Avon. And then some parents of the Life Group went to the principal of Avon and said, we want Young Life in our school. Now, Young Life, I guess, is a Christian organization, teen organization across the country. And they said, and we want Dominic Whitfield and his wife Emily to lead it. So the principal said, okay. And he said, don't worry about it. I'll fill out the permit. I'll make sure the board approves it. I'll even buy the kids pizza. So, I mean, just open door. Now, if any of you have connections in the city of Avon for a building, we need to get a location. I don't have that yet. So we might, you know, look for an Embassy Suites or something. But we definitely need a building to go to launch the services. That's Resurrection Sunday, March 27th, okay? To God be the glory. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Those are the announcements. And, you know, somebody said, wow, what are these big announcements you're making? I said, well, those are pretty big. I mean, what else? You know, paid off debt-free church. I mean, oh, we didn't take an offering yet? Oh, well, shoot, let me do that. You know, Paul the Apostle wrote something in 2 Corinthians 9 out of the Message Commentary Bible. And I want to read this to you. And this is my sentiment toward you as a church. So please give me a minute to read this. It's only a couple verses. Paul said, carrying out this social work involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. He's talking about their giving. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgivings to God. Tina and I, the rest of the team, want to say your faithfulness, your giving has caused abundant, bountiful thanksgiving in our heart because of your faithfulness. We could not be here without it. The relief offering, he goes on to say, is a prod to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plain meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to the needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. He goes on to say, meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Then he said, thank God for this gift, his gift. No language can praise him enough. And church, let me say on behalf of my wife and I, thank you for your sacrificial giving. Thank you for your investment. Thank you for believing in us enough to say, here is my tithe. Here is my offering because I believe in what God's doing here. I know you wouldn't give it if you didn't feel that way. And all I wanted to do is to say, thank you so much. We love you. We applaud you. We appreciate you. And we know that sometimes it's just not that easy. But you do it anyway because you believe in the kingdom of God. And you know that it's Christ in you that's given you this love. So God bless you. Thank you very much. If you're making a check this morning, make it out to CNC. That's all you got to do. And if you need to know how to spell 1,000, I can help you with that too. Look, 10 is good. A dollar is great. Whatever you can give. Father, thank you for the gift and the giver. We know that both come from you. We know that we live and move and have our being in Christ and Him alone. Now, Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as you give today, thank you so much. Hey, you know, have you ever seen, you thought there was a seat open and you saw one of these on it? Doesn't that bug you? It's like, what do you mean reserved? And then you grab it and you take it off, and an usher comes in and says, hey, put that sign back, because that's reserved and you're not the person it's reserved for. A reserved seat is really cool. You know why? You can show up late and not have to worry about it. Be like, I don't care, it started at 7, fine, I'll get there at 7:15. Why? Because I've got a seat. A reserved seat is pretty cool because you know that there's been a price attached to it. There's been some arrangement that has created it. Because, for example, if you go to a Cavs game, nobody likes to do that, but just say you went to a Cavs game and you had tickets to the game, but you didn't even have to pay for them. Wouldn't that be really cool? And the seat, when you get there, is right next to LeBron James. And you walk in, and you go to sit down, and somebody says, I'm sorry, you can't sit there. And you say, no, paid for. I'm the ticket holder. That's where I'm sitting. And they'll say, okay, you can sit there. Because obviously somebody paid the price to give you the reserved seat that we have been holding for you. There's something about reserved seating in heaven. Did you know there's one there? Reserved seating in heaven. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. I won't keep you long there, but let's look at it. The Bible says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now, I have to say this about that verse, if you can go back there just for a minute. When I read that, I'm like, I get it, but seek those things which are above. What are the things? If I'm supposed to be seeking things which are above, I know this. The things I'm supposed to be seeking are where Christ is. And I know the things that I'm supposed to be seeking are where He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. But what are those things? How can I seek something if I don't know what they are? If I don't know them, how will I identify them when I find them? Verse 2. Set your mind on what? Things above, not on things of the earth. Okay, now I'm supposed to seek things that are up in heaven, and I'm supposed to set my mind on things above. So I'm supposed to seek something I don't know what is, and I'm supposed to set my mind on something that I'm not sure exists. Somebody help me, please. Paul, what are you talking about? Well, you have to read his epistles to fill in the blanks. The things is understood in his apostolic disclosure about the kingdom. And we as a church should really know what those things are, right? Because if we don't know what they are, we're not going to seek them. If we don't know what they are, we're not going to set our mind on them. And this is the admonition. Verse 3, Colossians chapter 3. For you died. Now, Paul, I was really into it until this verse. First of all, you're telling me what to seek. Then you're telling me what to set my mind on. Now you come up with this weird verse. And you say, I've died. What Paul was actually saying is, setting your mind, seeking these things that are above, in order for that to occur, you have to die. Because your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now I know how to access those things that are above. I've got to die, and I know now my life is hidden away with Christ in God. So it's something Jesus has and knows. Okay, I'm following these clues. I'm getting it. I'm to set my mind on things above. I'm to seek those things which are above. Okay, wait a minute. Christ knows where they're at. I've got to die in order to be in Christ to be able to access them. So if Jesus knows what they are, all I got to do is have a little talk with Jesus. And it's going to be all right. In other words, I need to know what he knows about where he's sitting. Does that make sense to us? Okay, to four of us, it does. That's great. Moving right along. Colossians 2 and verse 10, listen to this. For you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I love what my friend Creflo says. Nothing missing and nothing broken. I love that saying. We are complete in Christ. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Listen, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convey to you and to me the consciousness of the union that the Father has with the Son in heaven. That's important. It's very important to know what the relationship of the Father is to the Son. Because it has a bearing on me. Paul the Apostle said you got to set your mind on it. Paul the Apostle said you got to seek it. Holy Spirit says I got to reveal it to you. Because it's my job to bring to conveyance to you what this relationship is all about. And what the Father gave to the Son. Because when you know what the Father gave to the Son, you'll seek that and you'll set your mind on it. If you want to flow in apostolic authority. Let me ask a dumb question. How many want to flow in apostolic authority? That's a dumb question. We all do. Right? We all do. All right. God has a reserved seat for you. Now you may be thinking you're in the seventh row, sixth seat over. No, 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 no. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Not when you die and someday go to heaven. You're sitting there now. Look at your neighbor and say, I know you think, come on, tell somebody, I know you think that I'm sitting here, but I'm really not here. Well, then you have to say, well, where are you? The real me is seated with Christ in heavenly places. Are you sitting next to Jesus? Are you sitting third row back behind Jesus? Where are you sitting? You are seated what? With Christ. Now, if I said to you, I've got a ticket, and this ticket is to the next home game. I think they play the Wizards. And you get to sit next to LeBron. You're like, reserve right next to LeBron. And I'm thinking, no, that's not what the Bible says. You're not sitting next to Jesus. I mean, that'd be cool though, wouldn't it be? You're sitting here, LeBron's here. He comes out for a rest and he's perspiring and some of it gets on you. You'd be like, whoa, I got LeBron stuff on me. Whoa, watch me now. I better go back and get some more because that wasn't enough. I can't shoot like he can shoot. No, what I'm saying, if you're seated with Christ, you're not next to Christ. You're in his shoes. You're in his shorts. You're in his jersey. You're coming down the court with 3 seconds to go. And you're about to win the game. And you shoot it and boom, you win. But wait, there's 1 second left. That happened last night. If you didn't. I happened to see that. I'm like, oh. But if you're seated with Christ, then you're in his robe. I'm not next to him. I'm in him. I mean, if Jesus is wearing sandals, they're on my feet. Come on, do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not something I aspire to. It is what I am. I am in Christ. Come on, shout that with me. I am in Christ. And most of the church doesn't know it or believe it. I started thinking about this, you know. When Jesus came into heaven, when he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven, the Apostles' Creed, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. When Jesus walked into heaven, he asked the usher, where's my reserved seat? And they said, Jesus, you could sit there, but you got to have to pay the price. You can't just sit there. This is a very expensive seat. To sit at the right hand of the Father, you You've got to give something. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:12, this is what Jesus paid. Are you ready? Look at it. Put it up on the verse, on the screen. Hebrews. Come on. I'm trying to relax. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. Come on, say it. With his own blood. What did he do? He entered the most holy place. How many times? Once for all, having obtained what? Eternal redemption. When Jesus entered into heaven, he walked in with a swagger. I'm going to the front row. I'm going to sit in the reserve seat. Ain't nobody going to stop me. And the ushers were there saying, you can't. Oh, yeah, you can, you can, you can. And by his own blood, he entered into the most holy place. And when he showed the blood, when the Father saw the blood, he said, sit him down right here at my right hand. Let me tell you something, you got born again. You know the song, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Dude, it's more than a song. It's more than a service. It's more than a ceremony. It's more than just taking communion once a month. It's more than somebody singing a special during the offering. The blood. It's more than that. It's more than the choir. It's the precious life blood of Jesus that has reserved a seat for you and me at the right hand of the Father. And when you walk into glory, you walk right to the front. You don't sit next to Jesus. You sit in Jesus. Yeah. All right. So I thought about this, you know. Nobody talks about the enthronement ceremony. There had to be an enthronement ceremony. There had to be a party when Jesus walked into heaven with the blood. I mean, do you get it? I mean, here he goes into the earth. Angels singing. Jesus born in a baby. Born in a manger. Angels singing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. I mean, they were singing for his birth. Yeah. He made his entrance into earth. But how about on the third day when he was raised up from the dead? Because death couldn't hold him, Jim. Death couldn't hold him. Why? Because he had never sinned. He paid the penalty of your sin and my sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Right there, you ought to lift a hand and say, thank you, Jesus. So when he walked in that day, all of heaven began to rejoice. The Lamb that was slain. Behold the Lamb, John said, that takes away the sin of the world. All of heaven said, behold the Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world. He comes into the holy place, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but he has shed his own blood. All the angels are like, watch me now, Jesus is coming in with his own blood. A ceremony erupted in heaven that most Christians never talk about. I wish somebody had preached to me the enthronement ceremony of Jesus when I got saved, because all they preached to me about was the cross. I love the cross, don't get me wrong, but it's like, Jesus, you died for me. Oh. It was a big joke, you know. Did you ever get somewhere where you're not supposed to be laughing and that's when it's really funny? It's like, don't. And you look at somebody like, and usually they would tell me, just think of Jesus on the cross. That'll take your laughter away. So I'm in one of those moments and I'm going, Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died. Good boy, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm laughing at you dying on the cross. But I'm not really dying, laughing at you dying. That's not working. It's not taking my laughter away. And I remember we took communion and they were like, this is the body and the blood of Jesus. He did this for you. Like, I'm sorry. I'm such a worm. And I just remember the cross being like a downer. I'm sorry. It was just a downer. And then they would say, you need to die to self. Oh, I'm just a wicked sinner. Oh, I got to die to self. What am I going to do? More fasting? I'll fast. I'll pray. I'll get counseling. I'll read more scriptures. I'll be like a monk. I will beat myself on Good Friday with a whip. You moron. You moron. God, do you see that? I'm dying to self. Oh, God, look. Are you happy about me beating myself? I heard a lot about that, but I didn't hear much about the resurrection, and rarely did I hear about the enthronement. And so we get stuck in religious cycles around the cross trying to please God when the Bible said you died and you no longer live. The life that you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and did what? Gave himself up for you, boo-boo. Come on. It's an amazing truth. So Jesus goes into heaven. And Peter on the day of Pentecost said this. This message of God's grace, rightly understood, brings us into our inheritance. He said it this way in verse 32. So now, therefore, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. So I thought, God, what happened up there that's so cool that everybody doesn't know about? What happened when Jesus sat down? Did they get a stool for him? Did they give him a cigar to smoke? What did they give Jesus when he sat down by the Father? How many know the Bible will answer us if we ask those questions? Three things that Jesus received on his enthronement ceremony day. Are you ready? I'm going to go through them very quickly. Don't fall asleep, you'll miss one. Number one, the Bible says, there therefore now is given among men under heaven no other name whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. When Jesus sat down, the first thing the Father gave him, he came over and said, Jesus, I got something for you, son. I'm going to give you a name. Here. Watch. Here's what it says. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. God the Father highly exalted him, the Son, Jesus, and given Jesus him the name which is above every name. Shout Jesus!
Jesus!
Oh, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Every name, name, depression, bow.
Yes.
Sickness, bow. Sin, bow. Satan, bow. Everything has to bow at the mention of that name. But what's cool about that? Jesus got the name. And then what he said in Luke 10 and 19, behold, all authority has been given unto me. And now I'm giving it to you. But if all you're thinking about is the cross and you're not thinking about the enthronement, if all you're thinking about is trying to die to self when you've already died, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature, old things are passing away, all things are becoming new, then you're going to miss the fact that you've been given a name. You've been given a name. You've been given a name. You've been given a name, and the name is Jesus. And there's no other name that can match that name. It is the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And He gave it to you, and He gave it to me. It's my inheritance. So when I get up in the morning, I look at the mirror and I say, "Hey, handsome, you got a name. And that name is Jesus. And when you say it, devils tremble. And all the powers and principalities begin to shake, rattle, and roll. Say that name, Jesus. And when I walk out the door, I say, Jesus. And when I'm driving in my car, I say, Jesus. And when I got trouble at work, I say, Jesus." Come on now. Because there's no other name, no greater name, no greater authority than the name of Jesus. Oh my goodness. Number two. Acts 2:33. Peter said, "This is that which the prophet Joel spoke of. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Is that what it is? Something like that. This is that. This is the pouring out. This is it. And I know there's a lot of people today, you know, and I love them. I love Christians that are ignorant. I do. I love them. I have actually empathy for them. Well, we just don't believe in that Holy Spirit stuff, you know. We think the passing away of tongues, and we do the Holy Spirit, but it's in another room because we don't want to offend the people. We don't want anybody to think we're crazy. I remember growing up in a church where it was a Pentecostal church. And oh my gosh, I brought a friend once and they thought I was crazy. We don't do that here. We don't pray for the sick. We don't fall out on the floor. I love church, you know. I love Sunday after church. We're praying for people. There's people laying on the floor. And we're walking by like, anybody going to help that person? Somebody just fell out. Are they dead? Are they okay? We're acting like they're just okay because we know it's the Holy Spirit that's come down upon them. You see, we are understanding that. But the people out there look at us and go, and if we don't understand we've been enthroned and receive the Holy Spirit from Jesus, we'll let it go. And we'll become like all these nominal churches being raised up with tens of thousands of members with no authority in the name of Jesus. Come on. I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm just trying to preach a little bit. Watch. Being exalted at the right hand of God and having, watch, there it is, and having received from the Father. What did the Father do after He gave Him a name? He said, "Jesus, got something else for you. I want you to take the promise of the Holy Spirit." He put it in His hands and He said, "I want you to take this. Mark, could you be Jesus? And let me be the Father, because I look a lot older than you." And I came up to Jesus and I said, "Son, I have the Holy Spirit for you. And I want you to take the Holy Spirit." And He got the Holy Spirit. Now watch. Father gave the Son the Holy Spirit because He was sitting at His right hand. Meaning He had the authority to give the name. He had the authority now to give what the Father gave Him. Look, He, Jesus, what did He do? Poured out this, what you now and see. So Jesus, Mark, stand up please and just kind of pour it out on your buddy right there. Just pour it out over him, on top of him. Pour it on your wife. Matter of fact, pour it on the whole row. Just pour it out. Pour it on the whole church. Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit that was given to him. And Peter said, "This is that." Now, why is that important? Come on now. Why is that important? Because when Samuel was looking for a king, his name was Saul. And he was trying to find some donkeys. He's just a donkey herder. But Samuel came and poured out oil upon Samuel's head. And when the oil was poured out, he was no longer a donkey herder. He now was a king because he had received the anointing of the king. You follow me? The father said, I'm about to anoint you, son, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus said, hey, is this my anointing? The father said, son, it's for you and for those that are far off, as many as the Lord shall call. You can pour it on whoever you want to pour it out on, because it belongs to you. And so Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, got up and poured out on the church in the upper room. They began to pray and speak in other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance, and signs and wisdom and miracles took place. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had been poured out. Come on, just lift your hands up and say, more, Lord. Come on, more, Lord. I need more of your Spirit. I need more of your Holy Spirit. See, the gift that was given to the head immediately began to run down on the body. And that's you and me. I'm in the body. What got the head? What's on the head is on the body. That's why John said, you know, you have an anointing. Jesus Christ, not his last name, Jesus, the name above every name, the anointed one and his anointing. Jesus was given anointing that breaks every yoke, lifts every burden. Come on, if Jesus is anointed, then I'm anointed. Why? Because I'm seated with Christ. When the Father gave Jesus the anointing, Jesus gave me the anointing. It's my inheritance. So I take exception to people who say it's of the devil. I better use this one, because this one still ain't healed yet. But it's acting like an inner. See, people today, I just don't believe it. I believe it's passed away with the apostles. Shh, 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 shh. I don't believe in speaking it. I don't believe in healing. Shh, 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 shh. We have to be relevant to the culture. Shh, 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 shh. Relevant to who? Relevant to who? Relevant to a culture that's bound? That the only way they'll be free is with the anointing of God to set them free. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, my friends, is not only for the empowerment of the saints, which it is, but it's for the recognition of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When you understand you're anointed, you point to him and say, it's the head. It's not my anointing, it's his anointing. That's why in the earth, we have to walk around in the anointing. Why? Because when we're in the anointing, we declare him as the anointed. And there's only one God, one Savior, one Lord. Jesus did not say to the Father, it's all right. We don't. Be all right. We'll just have some more church services and we'll open up some more universities and study the Bible. He didn't say that. He said, pour it on me, Father. When David received his anointing, his second anointing, his third anointing, he received anointing of the prophet. He received the anointing of the priest. He received the anointing of the king. Jesus received all three, and he's given them to you and to me, prophet, priest, and king. We walk in authority on the earth. Why? Because I don't walk in my name. I walk in the name of Jesus. And so I'm not fearful, and I'm not going to back down, and I'm not going to worry. Why? Because I've got a name that's above every name. So depression, you try to put your ugly tentacles into my soul, and I'm just going to have to cry out, even in the midnight hour, Jesus! Jesus, save me! And it's got to go. It's got to break its hold. Number three. Jesus was given something that the majority of the church in, is it Hebrews 7? Yeah, 25, you can put that up. Majority of the church believe it's the pastor's job. Pastor's job. Job. It's your J-O-B, boy. Or it's the evangelist's position. But in Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore, he also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make what? What's he praying about? To reconcile. There's one mediator between God and man, and that be the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, whoever lives to make intercession, that he would bring the wayward soul into communion and union with the Father in heaven. That's what it says. Is there a next verse I gave you? If it is, go for it. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, who has given us. Oh no, I don't want that. Take that out of the Bible. You know what we've done? We've got four spiritual laws. We've got Romans Road. We've got friendship evangelism. We've got seminars on how to win people to Christ. We're trying to get people to share their faith. Please, 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 share your faith. Share your faith. Stop. Do you understand? At the enthronement ceremony, Jesus was given the ministry of mediation, and he didn't hold on to it. He was given the Holy Spirit, and he didn't hold on to it. He was given a name above every name, and he didn't hold on to it. He gave him his name to you and me. He gave his anointing to you and me. He gave us his ministry of reconciliation to us, and it is now our job. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. When you think about it for a minute, look at verse 19. I don't know why they got these scriptures in the Bible. They just, they're like weird scriptures. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world. God was in Christ reconciling the world. So it was really the Father's plan that he would reconcile the world through Christ. God became a man. God so loved the world. Emmanuel, baby Jesus, was God. Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It's not my choice to tell you about Jesus. It is my ministry on the earth. Everywhere I go, people want to know who I am. So I tell them I'm a blood-bought, born-again, spirit-filled believer. And I can tell you that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you can be saved too. Next verse. Oh gosh, there's another one. Now then what? Let's read it. Now then we, as though, last week, we asked the church in the West to give some money because we have a 92-year-old mother in the church in the West who was sleeping on a mattress that tilted like this. She had to put a dresser on the edge of it to keep her from rolling out and couldn't sleep at night. Slept an hour or so because it was so uncomfortable. Didn't tell anybody until somebody found out. So they tried to fix it, put a board under it, you know, do what you ever have to do. We said, no, let's get the woman a new mattress. Well, she went and bought one. And this company, mattress firm, allowed her to put $40 down. Because the mattress was $800. Well, she didn't have $800. She probably has $200 a month. After she pays her rent, So we heard about it. We said $40 down. They allowed her to put $40 down, but $40 down, who knows when she's going to put anything else down. And she may not get that mattress for a long time. Just go get her the mattress. So I shared it with the church. We took the money. Tina went Tuesday and paid for it. Bought the mattress. He said, we're going to deliver it on Friday. So Tina went over there on Friday. Was it Friday? Friday, yeah. She went over there on Friday. Made her some Thanksgiving food and got the plates together. And she's going to hang out with her for a little while. Little did the two guys delivering the mattress know that there was two mothers. Church moms. Church mothers. Who are going to be in an apartment talking about how good God is. And they came up the stairs and ding dong. We got your mattress. We got the Ministry of Reconciliation for you. Come on in. And they began to tell them about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't know who you're going to meet this afternoon, who you'll meet tomorrow. But let me tell you something. It's not my job. It's not the evangelist's job. It's not deacon so-and-so. It's not some worship team. It's yours and mine. Why? Because Jesus was given the ministry of reconciliation or mediation. And he's given it to you and me. You say, well, I don't know. I'm scared. Well, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the number two thing. The number two thing, the anointing that was given to Jesus was poured out on you and me. And sort of like Superman. I was in the bank yesterday. It was hilarious. A lady said, okay, now we got this account set up for you, because I had all kinds of problems and been there six times trying to fix it. And she said, we're going to put a new security question in. She wanted to know who my superhero was. Who's your favorite superhero? And I felt the anointing right there. And I said, I swear this is the truth. It's the honest to God truth. I said, my superhero is Jesus. She said, you want to put Jesus down? I said, oh yeah. Then afterwards she said, you want me to write him down for you so you'll remember your security questions? I said, baby, I am never going to forget that Jesus is my superhero and he could be yours too. Mediation. Now I'm going to close with this, and I'm not here to offend anybody. You know, I've been doing this a long time and I've offended a few, but never on purpose, because I love you. I really do. But I have to tell you the truth. I'm glad you came today. Are you ready? Four of you are ready. The rest of you are not. Okay. Today we constantly hear about Christ's death with little acknowledgement of his resurrection and even less about his enthronement ceremony. I don't know why, but we ought to start preaching it. We ought to start living it. This is the last, nearly the last, this is November, second to the last month of the year. But let's not go into 2016 as ignorant as we were in 2015. Let's begin to say in the morning, I have a name. I have been given an anointing. I have a ministry. And God wouldn't have given it to you if he didn't think you could do it. So when the mattress delivery guys come in, stop being fearful. Open up your mouth and say, hey, I've been given a ministry by God. Would you like to hear it? It's called the ministry of mediation between a sinner and God's grace. I'm here standing in the gap for you. You don't have to go through all that. But you just tell them about Jesus. Now, this represents a lack of understanding. Really, Paul's revelation was apostolic. And if we're going to flow in apostolic authority, we're going to have to understand three things. Number one, you are filled with authority. That's his name. You are filled with power. That is his spirit. And you are filled with ministry. You ooze in ministry. You ooze in ministry. Those three things were given by Jesus Christ. To honor him as your king and your savior and your Lord, we need to flow in what he gave us. How would it be if you gave me a gift and I didn't open it and I waited till next Christmas and it's still sitting there? Jesus gave us these gifts. Now here it is. This is going to be shocking to some of you. If you could put that up on the screen. Shocking as it may seem to some, his death alone cannot save you. I know that doesn't go over big. Because many of us, that's all we ever heard. We're in some traditions that they talk about the cross and the death, and he died for you, and I'm glad he died for me. But he didn't stay died. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures and I'll take a little walk. 1 Corinthians 15. By the way, I'm going to celebrate my wife's birthday tonight. With the family. But next week, I'm going to celebrate with just her and me. Oh, you got that right. A couple more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 13. But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Verse 14. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. So why are you preaching, preacher, if you don't talk about him being raised? And quote to me that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwells in me, it will quicken, make alive my mortal body. Verse 17. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Let's read it. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. I didn't write the Bible. How many believe today? How many really understand that on the third day, that was the proof of sin's payment? It was that death could not hold him. Up from the grave he arose. How many know that he appeared to many? 500 at one time. Put your hand in the holes of my palm. Put your hand in my side. I am one, he who is dead, but now I am made alive. And the disciples on the day of his ascension stood in Acts chapter 1 as he was ascended into the clouds, stargazing. Oh my gosh, did you just see Jesus go up in the heaven? And angels appeared and they said, O men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing? For this Jesus who was caught up in the clouds to go to the Father shall also one day return in the clouds. And we shall be with him forever. Shut up, shut up. Don't make me happy now. Come on, come on. But they said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why? Because if I go to the Father, I will send one to you, and his name is Holy Spirit. I've already given you my name. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to send you into all the world. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach this gospel. Preach it at Starbucks. Preach it at Lowe's. Preach it on the corner. Preach it at your family reunion. Preach it at Christmas. Come on, everybody. Just get up your mouth open and declare, I'm going to preach this gospel. I'm going to let everybody know Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You want it? You want it? Are you going to fight the crowds? You want it? You want it? How you want it? You want it, don't you? I'll give it to you. Do you want it? Do you want the reserved seat? Or are you just going to try to find someplace when you get there? When I walk through the door, baby, they're going to know who I am. Ain't going to be no usher going to say, I'm sorry, you can't go there. I'm going to say, I got the blood of Jesus on me. And because I got the blood, I go where he goes. And I sit where he sits. As a matter of fact, I am him. If you've seen him, you've you've seen him. Just like if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. I am in Christ. That's the good news, folks. Reserve seating. I'm going to give me one of them. I'm going to give me a reserved seat. I don't care about it being on this earth. I don't care. I don't care. I've never sat courtside at one of them Cavs games. Nobody's ever given me a seat. It's all right. I don't need to sit down there anyway. It's all right. I watch it on TV. I go to lunch and some of my pastor gatherings, they're saying, oh yeah, we were took so-and-so and we were up in the lounge and the luge, or what do they call them? Loge. I took them in a loge and we were up there. I took my friends up there. I'm like, nobody ever asked me to go to no loge. I'm like, really? Wow, that's amazing. Let me tell you where I was sitting last night. Where were you sitting, Lou? Do you really want to know? I was sitting with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and at the name of Jesus. That's all. I just kind of like sitting with Jesus, hanging out with Jesus. I'd throw it, but I don't want to. Oh, why not? I just throw it. Woo! I mean, come on, church. Take off my shoe. I can't help it. I know what some of you are thinking. It's probably true. It's probably true. Oh, my goodness. All I know is I woke up this morning debt free. Yeah, church on the North Coast, coming to a city near you. I mean, we're coming. Yeah, East, it's coming. I got my eye on a city. I'm coming. It's coming. I don't know when it's going to start, but that's coming. It won't. It might not. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying it's coming. So why would you? Because there's people that need to be saved. God's given me a ministry of reconciliation, and I can't sit back and just have service on. I used to think, well, I get to do this again. Now I get to do it three times. Can I preach here sometime? We're going to do Lorraine at 10, Avon at 11. Valley View 12. That works, doesn't it? 10, 11, 12. Sounds like me, you need a 10, 11, 12, 1. Right? Sounds like you can always put a 1 in there. I never thought anybody would come at noon. Look at y'all. And you're still late. It's all right. It's all right. I'm glad you're here. I really am. Late doesn't matter because you got a reserved seat. Doesn't matter. You don't have to fight the crowd yet. But if you're here today and you're not born again, you know, like the seven people in the first service, they gave their life to Christ because they understand they wanted heaven and not hell. That's what they understood. They understood that Jesus paid a price, not just to die for their sin, but to give them authority, to give them an anointing, and to give them the ministry of reconciliation to this world. We owe this region a revival. We owe this region Jesus. We owe this region the power of God. We owe this region the name of Jesus. That's our call. Help us. But you have to be born again. And so how do I get born again? Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you can be saved. So before we go that way, why don't you go to heaven? You say, you know what? To hell with hell. I want heaven. I want heaven. Is that okay to say in church? If it's not, it's too late. I mean, really, why would you go to hell for anybody? Come on, go to heaven. Heaven is waiting for you. There's a reserved seat with your name on it. Come on. This is your opportunity. So with your head bowed just for a minute, 30 seconds is all it's going to take me. You say, hey, preacher, I want to give my life to Christ. I don't want to go away from this place not knowing that if I were to die, I would go to heaven, not knowing where I would spend eternity. I want to know today that heaven is my home. Would you pray for me? That's all you got to say is the affirmative. I want that. And I'll say, yes, I'll pray for you. There'll be many that'll pray for you. And I'm going to ask you on the count of three to raise your hand, acknowledging that need. That's all you have to do. But I want you to do it with authority, and I want you to do it convincingly. So here we go. Are you ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand if that's you. Yes. One there, high enough for me to see it. Two, three, four. Anybody else? Let me see it so I can see it. Five. Anybody else? Six. Anyone else, Tom, back there? Are we good? Did I get all six? Six. One more? Did I miss one? Seven. I like seven. That's God's number. You raise your hand. We're going to stand in a minute. Altar ministers are going to come under the direction of Janice. She's an amazing altar minister leader. And I want you to come right now, altar ministers. Stand across the front. And if you raise your hand when we stand, I want you to come this way. All we're going to do is pray for you. We're not going to ask you for anything. We just want to give you our love and our prayer because God has a great plan for your life. Are you ready? Come on, church. Stand up with me. And those of you that raised your hand, please come. Look to somebody to the right or to the left and said, look, if you raised your hand, I'll go with you. But please don't just stand here. Come on, look at somebody and say, did you raise your hand, sweetie? If you did, sir, did you raise your hand? If you did, I'll go with you. I'll take you by the hand and I'll bring you to the front and we'll pray together. Please do that. I beseech you. I beg you to come for this prayer this morning. Come on, let's encourage them. Come on. Come on, let's encourage them. Come on, let's encourage them. Come on, let's encourage them. Hallelujah. Come on, let's encourage them. Come on, let's encourage them. Come on, let's encourage them. Come on, this is big. This is big. This is big. This is big. Come on, let's encourage them. Come on, come on, baby. Come on. Come on, you guys. Come on, you guys. Come on. This is big. This is big. This is big. Now, while they're praying, you have a need physically, we'll pray with you. Don't forget the dates. January 13th, it's a Wednesday night. We're going to be conducting a seminar on how to win Muslims to the Lord. And going to give you an opportunity to be a part of a group in Cleveland called Sojourners, who takes Middle Eastern students and blends them with American families so they can learn the culture. And you can have them over for dinner. You can do whatever you need to do. This is vital, January 13th, okay? So mark that down in your mind. Don't forget December 31st. I'm going to hold something I've never done. And that is, I predict in 2016 these things. God's already given me three. I don't know. We'll see what else He gives me. But I want to share that with you at 7 o'clock, December 31st. Pre-Christmas Eve is December 23rd. Also, we have invite cards made available for you today on the way out.